Hello, and I hope this video finds you well. It is Saturday, 9:32 a.m., December 21st, 2019. Got back from my morning walk and felt inspired to write a little bit, so I posted something on The Simplifier at thesimplifier.com/life-lessons. And I'm just going to read it here just to get me in the flow and prepare for some upcoming knowledge that I'll be sharing here. But I wrote this, and hopefully it impacts you and inspires you. As we come to a close of 2019 soon, it has had me reflecting a lot more than usual. Maybe it's because it's due to it not just being the end of another year, but also the end of another decade. On this morning walk, I began laughing out loud as I was reflecting on this past decade, the unforeseen challenges that shook my entire existence numerous times. Generally, it happened each time when I felt on top of the world. Then wham, out of nowhere, a life-changing situational change. How about you? Is it just me, or have you experienced a few interesting, unexpected challenges this past decade? Rest easy, my friend. You and I are not alone. Chaos is a part of this recipe we call life. Cool part is, I'm still here, as are you. I just took a sigh of relief as I was typing that. Let's do it together. A deep breath in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And a deep breath out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had a close friend of mine many years ago say, my goal is to be here next year, which at the time seemed like such a low bar to aim for and was a bit ridiculous to me at that stage of my life. Now it makes absolute sense. With the formidable opponent and partner that life is, it continually pushes us out of our comfort zones to continuously learn and grow. Think about it. How boring is it to play a game over and over against someone who doesn't challenge you one bit? Sure, the first time we will revel in the victory and maybe give them a second chance. But after a blowout on the second time, very few find it exciting to try for a third slam dunk victory. We love the challenge of a worthy opponent. Think any professional sports athlete or team. They wouldn't be pumped about playing a high school team that they could easily crush. They want to go after the person or team that is actually favored to beat them, then show the world an underdog victory, dethroning the champion. So are the levels of life. Like Mario Brothers or any other video game, level 1 is a warm-up. Level 2 is significantly harder and has new challenges to overcome. Then level 3 once again throws some seemingly impossible surprises and challenges your way that you put thought and strategy into, and after failing over and over again, you finally crack that code once, then fail a couple more times, then nail it and beat it every time, hence moving you to level 4. Which makes level 3 look like child's play. And on it goes. So is life, a worthy guide, continually pushing us out of our comfort zones, many times unexpectedly, into each new level. Think about the problems you were dealing with and facing 10 years ago, and the person you were then. You did the best you knew how with the knowledge and experience you had at the time. Looking back, there may be some choices you can see, which from today's perspective, with new knowledge and experience, can make you think and feel, what was I thinking? You're an entirely new being today, 10 years later. The old you is completely gone. What used to be fun to you now bores or sickens you. What used to be important to you may be absolutely ridiculous to you. 10 years from now, this process will be the same. You will be a much wiser, mature person who will be significantly different personally and professionally than you are today. That said, I felt called to record this video, which I'm going to break from writing to go record live now, then post the replay afterwards here to share some of the lessons I've not just learned this past decade, but throughout my entire life, which not only has been discussed numerous times with my children, but can live on to remind them as they go through this upcoming decade to reflect upon. Plus, you may find some value in it as well. I may recap a few of the lessons shared in the video on that blog post, or I may not. We'll see how it unfolds. Make today great, Tom Beal. P.S. Feel free to leave your comments about what stuck out for you as some of the important lessons and share some of your biggest lessons that you feel are worth passing on to your children and future generations. So that's what I felt called to record via writing when I got back from my morning walk. And here we are discussing it. So what are some of the key lessons? Looking back on my entire life, you know, first of all, just to give you a brief recap of who I am and the setting of where I began this journey, I was born to teenagers, 17-year-old mother and 19-year-old father, lived through both my parents having four divorces and 6 marriages as a child. Went to 9 different schools by 8th grade. On and off welfare as a child. Massive poverty that I grew up around for most of my childhood. And there was massive adversity. There was in my family unit alcoholism, abuse, neglect, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm not saying all this to say, you know, look at me, woe is me, I had it worse than you. I'm saying that just to share that's one example, and there's 7.5 billion other examples of adversities and challenges that we each grew up around. We all had stuff, regardless of what race, what religion, what political background, what wealth our family had or didn't have. We all had stuff. And that's just part of that element of life as well. So one of the first lessons is everybody is going through something. And there's that old story, which is a very important story. And I'm always shocked to hear that some people haven't heard it. And for those who have heard it, it's always a good reminder. And the story goes like this. If I and you and, you know, 100 other people in this one room were to throw our problems into a pile, and let's just say the problems are represented by a shoe, like we throw our shoes into the pile, which are our problems, our biggest problem, our biggest challenge. After we look at the pile and see behind the facade of social media, behind the facade of the masks that we each wear as human beings, and we see behind that and see the challenges and difficulties that you are dealing with, that the person next to you is dealing with, that the person over there is dealing with. When we look at those and we look at our problem, most times we will say, hey, you know what? I'll just take my problem back. Thank you very much. And why is that? What's the moral of that story? A, everyone is going through some stuff, difficulties, challenges. And this is from, you know, all walks, no differentiation. As humans, everybody has stuff going on. And when we look at that stuff and we can see it, and I've peered behind some of the most successful entrepreneurs of our day and age, and their stuff would knock your socks off, like what they're dealing with. And you know, there's a quote that says, higher levels equals higher devils. You know, the bigger, more money, more problems. You know, it's said in many different ways, and it's true. The problems that we dealt with 10 years ago, we look at now and laugh. The problems that had us on our knees, because we know so much more with the knowledge and experience that we have. Yet the problems we face today, you know, are much larger. You know, it's that levels that I talked about in the video game. So we were at a new level. So the higher the level, the higher the challenges. And so that's one aspect of the shoe example. The other aspect is we're comfortable with ours. Like we know and understand how to not only deal with it, but how to hopefully put a plan and strategy in place to get to the other end, to get out of that difficulty, to get out of that challenge. Others, you know, we just don't have any clue. Like if we were to jump into, there's those movies where, you know, people go to sleep and they wake up in another person's body, you know, and they look in the mirror like, wow, you know, and they're dealing now with that person's life. No one knows your life better than you. No one knows my life better than me. If I were to switch places with you, I would be in a world of trouble, and vice versa. And that goes for everybody, because we're all in our own little comfort zone, and all these years have built us up comfort zones personally and professionally. And so when we see all the other problems, we're like, you know what? I'll just take my problem back. So the first important lesson is, regardless of external appearances, regardless of whatever level of success someone has or does not have, nobody is immune to chaos or challenges or difficulties. Everybody has them. That's part of this endeavor we call life. So that's the first lesson. Then the next lesson is, I found through studying and working with some of the best, you know, minds of our day and age, you know, this one in particular, after working and training with Tony Robbins, you know, I was in Tony Robbins' Platinum program, and we went to Fiji and was there at the first oneness blessing that happened in Fiji at Tony's island, Namali, that had ever occurred outside of India. And while we were there, you know, there plus, you know, Unleash the Power Within and some other trainings and all the audios and videos that I had from Tony, I noticed from his teachings and Jim Rohn's teachings that there are some human common elements. And from my story, they're applicable to me. And from your story, they're applicable to you as well. And those are, am I lovable? Am I worthy? Am I good enough? And that's a common thing built into each of our DNA. And in many cases, our childhood, there's examples that we remember subconsciously and sometimes consciously that prove to us that we weren't lovable, that we weren't good enough, that, apparently we aren't doing this right. So from those early experiences, those can be ingrained into us that I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy. Well, the reality is you are good enough, you are lovable, and you are worthy. And knowing that, we can look at other people, and instead of looking at it from the lens of, wow, they got everything figured out, or man, if I only could have their life, we can look at them and see like, whoa, if they can do it, I can do it too, you know, to a degree, right? Like now I wouldn't, you know, obviously this uses proper discernment. Like I wouldn't look at Shaquille O'Neal or Michael Jordan or LeBron James and say, hey, if they can do it like that, I can do it like that too. Basketball. Like I just don't have the build. I don't have the height. I don't have the dedication and commitment for that particular sport. However, I did wrestle and I looked at mentors of mine back in the day. Dan Gable was the premier mentor. And I was like, whoa, now he is a specimen of discipline. I mean, after he won the Olympics, he went out for a run, like a 5 mile or 7 mile run, like, you know, didn't take a break. That's the guy is dedicated and committed. And if you look at any of the other names I just mentioned, LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Shaquille O'Neal, the dedication and commitment that they each put into their sport. And that's a sport, that's an athlete, but same thing applies to business owners. Same thing applies to people that have amazing family life and have the happiness, right? Happiness takes work, believe it or not. I don't know the statistics, but if you look around, the statistics are high. The statistics, that was a hard one to spit out. The statistics are high in America of many people taking anxiety and depression drugs because, you know, society kind of pushes you down this path of judging yourself against others. So that's a long way to wind back to saying, you're not here competing with anyone else on this planet. The only person that is your worthy opponent is looking back at you in the mirror. So others may appear to be further down the path for you. And guess what? Let's use that example. If we're climbing a large mountain, I won't use Mount Everest because that's, you know, yeah, it seems like everybody's doing it now, but it's still a small percentage of society that goes to Mount Everest. But let's just call it a worthy hill, you know, a worthy mountain. Someone that started before you obviously is going to be further along the path. And you can't look at them and say, oh, I hate that person who's further along the path. Like they just started earlier. They just started a bit before you did. They're no better. They're no worse. They just had, an earlier start. So you can't look at the people ahead of you in the mountain with disgust or hate. You can look at them with inspiration and say, man, look how far they are, you know, and here I am facing this big challenge. I know I can get through it. Like, look, you know, and then the great part is, you know, on my morning walk, for instance, I see people of all different shapes, sizes, ethnicities, you know, et cetera. And it always inspires me when there's a very large person who's out there jogging, and it's kind of a kick in my own butt. Like, look at them, you know, congratulations for recognizing it's time to change the trajectory of their life. And they're out here putting the work in. And it just inspires me all the time, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm fortunately fairly fit, yet there are comfort zones in that. And there are things that I know I could do and I probably should do that I'm currently not. And it inspires me to see other people. And by the way, in our neighborhood, there's a dude that's 95 years old. He goes to the pool every day and does a little workout in the pool. And Charlie, he's awesome. He inspires me. There's an 88-year-old woman up the way here who walks. She actually passed Wanda and I. Wanda and I walk at a rapid pace. One day, this old woman zipped past us, and she's from our neighborhood. Stop and talk to us. She's 88 years old. I saw her out walking at a super fast pace that probably outpaced me right now still, and possibly you. That stuff inspires me, right? Our only limits are the limits that we place on ourselves, which come from my perspective, comfort zone. So, you know, those are a couple lessons that shine true. So in today's day and age of social media, this is brand new stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and our children are going through this. And let's be honest, like, it's addictive. They have billion-dollar companies that bring in the best psychologists and the best programmers and the best designers with one goal: to get you and I addicted. And if they can get us addicted, guess who else are getting addicted? The children. And the children are addicted to the endorphins that come from a like. You know, whether it's on, you know, the kids aren't on Facebook anymore, but they're on Instagram, whether it's on Snapchat, whether it's on TikTok, whether it's on whatever's going to be the next thing. It's like, you know, the same things that connect in our brain. If you and I were to do some drugs, that's the drug, the same response that they get from the likes. And guess what? There's bullying on social media. Guess what? There's kids that take their own lives because they felt unworthy. They felt unlovable. They felt not good enough due to likes, right? So, and what is this? This is the facade of the social media, which appears that everybody's life is amazingly perfect. There's no issues. There's no problems. There's no challenges. My life is amazing. Blah, blah, blah. Look at me. And we as adults have a hard time discerning the truth, right? Think about the media. Think about the controversy of false agendas and false news and false ulterior motives. People of our age, you know, I'm 47 right now, older and younger, have a hard time discerning truth from false. Think about the children. Do you think they are able to discern at the age they are, with the knowledge that they have, the experience they have? They don't know how to discern obvious blatant lies from truth, and how to find out if they are truthful or not. So the children are in this world, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to help them with their discernment and help them understand that not all they see, not all they read, not all that appears on social media or in news or whatever is true, right? There are agendas, there are propaganda, there are things going on that twist it to whoever's side, you know. So that old saying of there's three sides to every story. There's the one person's story, there's the other person's story, and there's the truth. It's somewhere probably between the two stories. So there's some big lessons here. But the main one of this is don't compete with any other about, you know, appearance, about wealth, about happiness. The only person that is my competitor and is my goal is to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday is the person looking back at me in the mirror, right? That's the only thing that matters. So in athletics, you know, my son played football. My daughter, my son's a senior. My daughter is a cheerleader. There's always going to be someone who's further up the mountain. There's always going to be someone who can do the things that you can't currently do. And that's not meant to beat yourself up. It's meant to inspire you and say, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, how can I get the proper guidance? How can I get the proper mentorship? How can I put in the extra time, effort, and energy to hone my skills to be a little bit better, to get to that next level? I was a national bicycle champion, freestyle, tricks on bikes. I continually had to find somebody who knew the tricks that I wasn't capable of doing, because I would see them do it, which would help me understand, okay, it's possible. It seemed impossible. It's possible. They can do it. They're not that much better than me. Okay, what are the nuances? How are they doing it and how am I not doing it? What do I need to attempt next? What do I need to tweak, to modify, to iterate? And that's the way to do it in sports and in business. And looking at others in business, you know, let's look at it. You know, on Facebook, Instagram, and all this other stuff, you know, it seems like everybody's just printing money. Everybody's got duffel bags of money, you know, everybody's Floyd Mayweather, right? Well, it's not the case, but there are people that are further along the mountain who may be getting better results than you are at this particular juncture. And similar to sports, the more you can get close to that person to have their, you know, ideal situation is their personal guidance. But in today's day and age, you can get videos, you can get audios, you can get books, you can get reports, you can get behind the scenes data that never has been available in the past. Is now available to you today if you're curious. So become curious. What are they doing? How are they doing it? You know, what are some tweaks and modifications that I could do to improve my results, to get from where I am to where I want to be? So in that vein, another lesson is find a proper mentor. I used this without even knowing it back in my bicycle freestyle days when I was a teenager. I couldn't do these certain tricks. That person could. Hey, can you teach me how to do that? You know, and I, you know, I had some wise words come back from another teenager. He's like, well, I can understand you want to do this trick, but this is an expert trick and you're currently a novice. So you can't go from the novice to the expert trick. Of course, everyone wants to do the expert trick, but you first have to learn this basic trick. And from this basic trick, learn this basic trick. And then this basically from level one to level two, level three. I wanted to do the level four trick when I was at level one. And the wisdom of this teenager is like, well, of course you want to do this trick at level four, but it's impossible for you at this current state. You need to learn more level one advanced tricks to get to level two, to three, and then four. And I just want to learn level four. Well, same thing applies to business. Everybody just wants to go make their first million. How much have you made so far? Nothing. None. Okay, great. Just like that teenager. Well, is it possible? Well, kinda. Is it probable? No. You got to go first, earn your first 100, earn your first 1,000, earn your first 10,000, earn your first 25,000, 50, 100, etc. And gradually you get it and you go, just like in the tricks on the bike, to the next level, the next level, next level. And then once you reach the million plus stage, you know, the old adage, you know, once you make your first million, the second one's easier, right? So once you nail that trick, And you fail a couple more times, you get it. Once you get it, it's like tying your shoe. You just know how to do it now. Now, that said, in business today, unlike days of past, the one thing that you can definitely count on is change. What worked last week isn't guaranteed to work this week. What worked last year probably has no chance of working this year. It's adapting and changing at such a rapid rate. And for people who aren't willing to step out of their comfort zone and into uncertainty, and instead of being fearful of change and fearful of adaptation, expect change and are willing to continually have your finger on the pulse to see what's working, what's not working, and continually iterate. Ideally, once again, going back to the other lesson of having the mentor who is there to bounce those ideas off you. And by the way, the mentors, you know, like myself, I deal with numerous multimillionaires who are highly successful, yet they still don't get a pin that alleviates them from any chaos or challenges, personally or professionally. So I'm their confidant. I can hear and understand in a non-judgmental situation what their predicament is and hear it, not flip out. You know, they can't share these things at a family picnic. It would blow people's minds. It'd be like trying to convince a three-year-old, teach them chemistry or physics. You know, it's just problems and situations that, nor until you have those, you can't go back and talk to someone who hasn't experienced it. So I'm their confidant. I hear these things, which other people, they like, oh my God, the world is ending. I'm like, okay, now that we know this, what's the next step? Okay. Are we changing the destination, or are we modifying a little bit, or are we just going to improvise, adapt, and overcome and figure a way around this current, seemingly, insurmountable obstacle? Yet we've always overcome all of the seemingly insurmountable obstacles up to this point. So rest easy. You're a kick butt problem solver. And by the way, I'm saying this to you. Look at your life. You're still here. You've overcome these seemingly impossible surprises. So congratulations. You are a kick butt problem solver. And more problems will be coming your way to bring you to the next level of the problem solving that's waiting for you. So thank you. All right. So another one, another big lesson. I talk with my kids about this, and this is a quote from Henry Ford. By the way, I have no notes. I have no agenda other than just rattling off some important lessons that I feel are important for my children and hopefully important to you. Another important lesson that I've talked with my kids about many times, but it's a great reminder, is a quote from Henry Ford that says, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Now, it sounds quaint. It sounds, you know, okay, I've heard that before, but there's a difference between hearing it and understanding it at a deeper level. Think about it. Whether I think I can or think I can't, I'm right. Back to the bicycle freestyle trick. Prior to having that mentor who could accomplish that trick, I'd look at it on a video and say, holy cow, that is impossible. There's no way I can do that. That is beyond my skill level. And at that particular juncture, guess what? I was 100% right. There was no way I was ever going to do that. There has to be a shift from going from impossible to maybe I can, to the maybe. What if I could do that? You know, what if I could get this guidance and learn that, you know? So there, it goes from there's no way that's possible to me to the what if, and maybe it has a chance, to having that mentor. So, oh, not only does it have a chance, I'm going to show you how to get to it very quickly. You know, I saw what you're trying to do and you're doing it all wrong. Here is the way to do it. Watch me. And then I'm going to go step by step to show you how I just did what I did. And with that fine tuning, I went from no way can I do that, which at that point, the quote was true. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. I didn't think I could. Therefore, there's no way I would, even if I attempted it, I wouldn't be able to nail it. To having that glimpse of hope of maybe it is possible for me. What if this person could show me step by step and I could actually pull this off? You know, and then that translates to business as well. And once you go from there's no way to maybe there is a way, and you have that mentor, that guide, pointing you step by step on that journey, you'll wake up one day and attempt it again after failing. It's fail forward fast, right? How can you, I wanted to do this. The easiest way to learn that trick is to have that guidance. Okay, I see how it's done. I'm going to attempt it. Boom, it's going to hurt. You're going to hurt your arm, your leg, your finger, your hand. Something's going to hurt when you fall. But you get back up on it and you try it again. And each time you iterate and do it a little bit different, then finally you hit it once, one time, and you're more going to be quick to hit it when you have that guide. And once you hit it once, it clicks, aha, I can do it. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Now I can do it. And you'll, and this is from my experience in the bike ride, you'll fall a couple more times and you'll hit it again the second time. Then it's like, boom. Right after that, the third time, fourth time, then it's ingrained, like in your mind, like I couldn't do it. Now I can. And now it's like, what's next? And that's a continual progression of those levels we talked about a little bit earlier. That's it. And it's, that quote is so powerful. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Now I'm laughing in my mind. I remember a few Christmases ago, actually, my son got this, and you know, by now he's, how old is he? Oh, 17. My son got a Nerf gun that had a pump, and Daddy, I can't do it. I said, oh, okay. You know, well, what's that one quote that we talk about? And this is probably 10 years ago. So 6 or 7 years old. And he's like, what's quote? He's like, whether I think I can or think I can't, I'm right. I'm like, yeah, well, you just told me you can't do it. He's like, well, that means I won't be able to do it. What if I think I can? I was like, I don't know. Do you think you can? Yeah, I think I can. Okay, well, give it a shot. And he pumped it and did it. I thought I could, and I did. You know, this works. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a small example of this. If you think you can't, you have to find something that can bridge you into maybe it is possible for me. Maybe it is. What if it is possible for me? What if that's no magic sauce? What if it's a simple recipe that if I follow the similar steps, I'll get a similar result? And bridging from thinking you can't to maybe it is possible is all the difference. Then with that guide, you know, so mentorship is the next secret. Without mentorship, holy cow, could I have figured out those tricks on the bike? Possibly, but probably not. You know, and I'm thinking back as I say that, because at the time when I was learning it, it was in BMX Plus, it was in Freestyle and Magazine. We see pictures, and a picture captures that moment. I'm like, what the heck? How is that possible? And then there became a couple underground videos that came out. Oh, now the video, I can see how they got to that point. It's not even what I thought. Like in my mind, how they got there was totally different from the video, which showed me how it unfolded, right? So a picture, you know, and in business, this applies. Man, how do they get those results? You don't see behind the scenes. You don't see the engine and the time and the effort and energy that it took to get those results. You just see the results. Think of it like this. Think of it like a gymnast, you know, an Olympic caliber gymnast who goes out there on a floor and just tumbles and does these things and performs this magic. And in our minds, we are in awe, like, holy cow, that minute It was unbelievable. I didn't know the human body could do that. Well, what we didn't see is the, 10-hour days for a decade that that person went in to be able to perform that magic in the minute that we saw, right? And that's what happens in business. We see the snapshot, and very few times do we see behind the scenes, right? So mentorship definitely speeds up that process of getting you from where you are to where you want to be. All right, what are some other ones? Some other important lessons. Okay, Napoleon Hill has several quotes. One, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So he used man, you know, that was a long time ago. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So the mind conceives an idea, believes that it's possible, which ties back into the other quote, you can achieve it. Now, what does that mean? From my experience, I've learned we have a self-regulator within us. Think of like a car that is meant to go super fast, but it has a regulator. And no matter what we do, no matter how much we press that gas, it's going to stop at that particular speed, that particular RPM. We have an internal regulator, which gives our mind like how that quote unfolds. Like we aren't able to conceive the idea if we're not ready for it yet. So when our mind comes up with, ooh, oh, that, man, I want to do that, that now has passed the self-regulation. We now believe it is somewhat possible for us. So whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So that's my interpretation of that particular quote. There's another quote from Napoleon Hill that's also important, which is this: every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. And as I talked about in the very beginning, in this life, chaos is a part of the journey. None of us get a pin that removes us from chaos, difficulties, challenges, obstacles. Matter of fact, each year, the challenges and obstacles and surprises get bigger. So we can reflect back on that. Quote, to see it true in our past, look back on the most difficult and challenging adversities that you faced in your past. The ones that you thought, this is it. There's no way I'm getting out of this one. This is the end all. Nothing's worse than this. And look at the quote. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. So the bigger the adversity, the bigger the benefit that's waiting for you in time. So I can look back on some of the biggest adversities that I face in my life and go back to them now and thank life for those adversities. I wouldn't be who I am today if those adversities didn't teach me the lessons that were waiting for me now. I wouldn't wish those adversities on anybody because they were extremely challenging. Yet from those came the lessons which have molded me into the person that I am today. And the same is true for you. And you may look back as I do and say, man, thank God for that adversity. That led to the path. You know, there's a quote that when I think of some of my big adversities, the quote is this: if you want to make God laugh, tell her your plans. You know, I had plans and was on a certain path. And then those adversities not only stopped that path, but put it on a whole different path that was definitely not anywhere near my plan. And maybe you can reflect on that as well and see that to be true for yourself. So those are two quotes from Napoleon Hill that I think we'll close it out with. It was just unplanned, no paper, no writings or anything like that, other than just having a laugh on my walk back from the beach this morning that led me to writing that blog post and then recording this video. And the other part was Wanda had some stuff to do out of the house today. So, you know, Wanda and I normally would go on a moped ride and do some stuff. I felt, you know what? It's time to put this into writing and put it into video. These are some of the important lessons. Obviously, there's many more, but I felt called to share them. And I would be interested to hear what are some of the lessons that are most important for you on your journey. I guess I'll throw in one last lesson. And this one is quite important, and it just struck my mind. Regardless of how long we live individually, this life, this journey is brief. This is like a trip to the amusement park. We came from, you know, many people have ideas where we came from. My belief is we chose to come here. We chose to come to this amusement park. We chose our parents, the energies that our parents had, the circumstances that would unfold to bring us to this day and age. And prior to us doing that, there was like a council that was like, are you sure? You know, you're in this realm and you think you can handle it. That's a lot of stuff on your plate. Are you sure you can handle it? Oh yeah, I got it. We're very optimistic in that realm. And then in this realm, we're like, what did I sign up for? Holy cow. Kind of like me when I was in boot camp in the Marine Corps, like, holy cow, I signed up for this torture, the 3 months, and ended up being the guide and ended up being the honor man of my platoon. They graduated on April 2nd, 1993, platoon 3028. And so we chose to come here at this playground we call Earth. And we each have our start and end. None of us get out of here alive. And here we are coming to the close of this decade. This decade went by like that for me. How'd it go for you? My thought is the next decade will go even quicker. But the bottom line is, just as I mentioned in the writing, you know, my goal is to be here a year from now. My goal is to be here a decade from now. So much can happen in a decade. And a lot of it is out of our control. We can choose to control our thoughts, our words, our actions, which by default allow us to also control our emotions if we so choose. And in doing so, there's a lot that's not in our control. However, we can control our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That said, knowing that this journey is brief, I lost my parents to cancer in 2007. My mother passed at 52. In 2009, my father passed at 56, diagnosed and gone in a very short order. But I was able to spend time with them. I was with both of them for their last breath. And it gave me clarity that, holy cow, they were healthy just a few short months ago. They got the diagnosis and were gone. And I'm sure you may have some family or friends that are no longer here, as I have as well. And what I've learned is, this journey is brief, regardless of how long we live. Sure, I've got Charlie up the road that inspires me, who's 95. I got the woman who's 88 that inspires me, you know. But there's no guarantee of when we check out of this amusement park. So knowing that this journey's brief, I live under the philosophy that, you know what, while I'm here, I'm going to ride the rides. I'm going to do my duty to get clear on what I want to do. Like at an amusement park, think about it. You know, get there. I reminisce when we went to one with me and my kids into this roller coaster one in Ohio. We got there right before the gates open. You know, we're excited. Okay, when we get in, which the first one ride we're going to ride? Okay, then we're going to probably ride it again. And then we're going to go over here and ride this one and this one. And we maximize that day. And at the end of the day, we were there. The gates were closing. We high-fived and said, no one had more fun than us today. At the end of this journey, of this amusement park, with the people that I'm around, I want to high-five them and say the same thing. No one had as much fun. No one went for it like we went for it. And that is my hope for you, that you live to the fullest in this life. You live an intentional life, full of joy, full of happiness, full of adventure. For me, I have three drivers. Everything I do brings joy, adventure, and passion with it. And my hope is that you don't have regrets at the closing of this amusement park ride we call life, this journey we call life, that you have amazing memories, a big smile on your face, and ready to high-five the people that were around you, say, man, we went for it. Nobody had as much fun as we did. We went for it. So that requires stepping out of your comfort zone. So go to the URL. If you're watching this video, if I post it on that page, post your lessons below. What resonated for you? What are some lessons that you have that I didn't mention here that you feel are important as well? And then, you know, make a commitment to say, you know what? Life has, you know, whatever's happened has happened. Now it's time for me to put a plot twist in my life where I'm going to be clear on what I want. I'm going to take the actions that I know are mine to take. I'm going to be someone who isn't going to dilly-dally at this amusement park. Because we saw people, you know, hanging out, eating ice cream, you know, and didn't ride as many rides. We'd see them in our passing throughout the whole day. We know for a fact they didn't get as much joy or excitement of that amazing experience as we did. You know, so it comes from being clear. We were clear. Each ride, okay, where are we going next? Okay, great. Where are we going next? Okay, we're going to eat. Great. We're going to stop quick. We're going to eat quick and we'll get back. And when we're done eating, we're going to go here. Right. And it was all an exciting plan. And it really boils down to some of the lessons from that amusement park. What's next? Where are you going next? What's the next chapter? Personally and professionally, what's the next chapter in your health? What's the next chapter for your key relationships? What's the next chapter for your financial situation? It's time for a big plot twist, ladies and gentlemen. You ready? Get ready for the journey. This is the beginning. I'm making some big changes in 2020. It's no more, you know, it's getting that burning desire, that clarity of where I'm going next, what I'm doing. And the train's moving. People are either going to be on it or not on it. That's fine with me. But when you're with me, you know, amazing things happen. So leave your comments below. And I look forward to seeing them. And I look forward to continuing this journey at this amusement park. It's not closed yet. Here's to your best year yet in 2020, your best decade yet in the roaring 20s. Think about it, the roaring 20s, back in the Great Gatsby days. It's now 2020, pretty soon. The roaring 20s, for you, for me. And whether this past decade has been a life of survival and struggle, here's to a life of thriving in 2020 and beyond. You ready? Strap your seatbelt on. It's going to be an awesome journey. Talk with you soon. Look forward to seeing your comments. Make today great.